I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the 2017 Clicking Balls season primer for the GWS Giants. My name is Heath, and with me is Josh.
Hello.
And Brenton.
G'day.
So let's look back first at the 2016 for the Giants. 16 wins and fourth. I mean, big things we're predicting from them this year, and they almost delivered.
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like they still delivered. I was expecting them to win the flag, to be honest, but I think, did I?
I think it would have been an overachievement based on the fact they're still a young side and they're still, developing to where they want to be, but damn, they're close.
But their highlight by far is winning their first final, and
yeah,
it happens
much to
be against the big brother.
Exactly, yeah. And also seeing that town get behind it as well was massive. Well, like we said in another podcast, it always helps when NRL teams in that area are shit.
Yeah. I think, too, it does help that Sydney has been, for a long time, identified as sort of the upper-class sort of side.
Yeah.
And so they've gone to the West and said, well, look, if they're the upper-class, we're the blue-collar, down-and-dirty blokes who happen, apparently, GWS happen to be earning quite a fair bit of cash. But, they've still managed to create a small rivalry, but I think that's going to be blooming.
Certainly about to get bigger.
Yeah, well, they need to. Like, how long are they still propped up by AFL for? Is that a contract or is that just
forever?
Yeah. So it'd be nice to see them making inroads to be able to stand on their own feet, and having a strong rivalry around that Sydney area is obviously important to that.
Oh, it's vital.
Yeah, and I mean, they've come up with their own little academy that's a great little poaching ground for other teams as well, but they still manage to refuel their stocks every year.
Yeah, well, they did lose a little piece of their academy in the last week, but I think they've done so well anyway. I mean, they've set themselves up for sustained success.
Yeah.
Last year, first year in the finals, they made it to a prelim. That's probably a great pass mark for them, but it does mean they need a flag in the next 3 years.
Yeah, and like we said with the Sydney preview, they were just a Stevie J kick away from progressing further in the finals.
Yeah, that did hurt. I mean, it's good to be attacking hard on the ball, but when you're gets rubbed out for one match that late in the year, it hurts.
And honestly, I think it was valid.
Oh, it was definitely a suspension. You bumped a bloke in the head. It's the way it goes.
Yeah, but I mean, you still feel like that if there's anything they recruited Stevie to do is, sorry, wait around a little bit because the kids couldn't do it.
Yeah, also recruited him to play finals.
Yeah, absolutely. They want him for finals experience, and it's hard to give that from the stands.
Well, I mean, I try all the time, but we don't make finals, so it's difficult.
The other big step they had, obviously, was earlier on in the year when they gave Hawthorn an absolute dicking.
Yeah.
I think it was 70-odd points, and that was flattering.
Yeah. And, I mean, Hawthorn were already alone there because GWS towered up everyone at one point or another.
There's a few.
Whether it'll be from the whole course of the game or just the midfield tearing it up to even their mature age recruits have stepped up. So it's really tough to point out where their holes are at the moment.
That's it. They don't have any.
That's exactly right. Like, we talk about the average determining how good a team is. But when you're starting, the back line, Heath Shaw, one of the best All-Australian level backmen.
He's been there 2 years. He's been All-Australian 2 years.
And deservedly so. Yeah. Just so smart back there.
Best and fairest to go with it.
Somehow Collingwood made him dumb. Somehow moving north made him smart.
Well, you wouldn't be forgiven for thinking it was just sort of a retirement tour down there, put in a few years and see how it goes. But absolutely not. It's just up and up.
Yeah, I mean, half back line, they got Bunteen, Tomlinson and Williams. And solid.
You're skipping Phil Davis there. Yeah, Phil Davis is one of the best key position backmen going around.
I've got him at fullback.
There you go.
Shaw and Davis at fullback, two of the best.
Davis is one of the best matchups in the AFL for Buddy Franklin.
Absolutely.
Buddy's an absolute freak, but Davis has got the better of him on more than one occasion.
And then at the centre line with Josh Kelly, Callum Ward, Tom Scully.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, super powerful. And then, Stevie J at the forward flank, Jeremy Cameron, Toby Green. They any side would love to have that forward flank.
Yeah, we've got Shields running there too, don't we?
You've got Mumford in the ruck.
Mumford in the ruck, Dylan Shield, Ryan Griffin, and then in forward line you've got Big General Patton with Lobb and Smith at each side of him.
Who the fuck do you tag?
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to have, 18 taggers?
I think you don't tag anybody in the first quarter and then figure out who's on fire today and then tag them.
And hope you get ahead of the curve.
I think it's only a clear case for mental warfare. Just try and fuck with their heads and see what you can pull off.
Well, I mean, when you're going through that list, they've got such a good average, like you said. Yeah. Mm. They've also given away good players.
That's scary.
They've got some in too.
But I mean, over the years, the last couple of years. Players that have left them have gone on to good things anyway.
Yeah, it's like they're sitting there going, oh, these $1 and $2 coins don't fit my wallet, so you can fucking take them.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, even the one who I thought underperformed the most that they got in was Scully, who's killing it.
Oh, yeah, I can say, this is his fifth year at GWS.
About that,
yeah. So it's only his sixth year in the comp.
Yep.
Obviously paid overs for him.
Yeah.
But this year he was very, very handy.
Yeah, exactly.
Not just a tagging role either. He started to run off and make his own play.
Yeah, yeah, he got that confidence as well.
Okay, so we'll have a look at their outs during the off season. McCarthy was the one who didn't play last year anyway, so he really left a year earlier.
Yeah.
But key forwards, they're doing okay. I mean, they've got Cameron, they've got Patton, and Lobb, who's going to play ruck forward, who could turn into one of the best contested marks going around.
Yeah, well, they're pretty spoilt for choice, really. It's just a matter of keeping them fit. Obviously, Patton's had his trouble with injuries, but seemed to run out the last season pretty good. Yeah. So hopefully that's all fixed up, because a big man like that, it's really hard to be resilient from those injuries. So. Yep.
Mm. Jack Steele, who's gone to St Kilda because his name's Jack. They've got Ahern, who's gone to North. Joel Patful.
Because he's injured.
Joel Patful is retired, but he's still on the list. Yeah. They need him for some list management reasons or something like that. Don't fully understand that, but I'd love to if I could.
They've negative geared him.
Yeah, that's pretty much what they've done with him. James Stewart, who I think went to Essendon, who is unfortunate because I thought he was going to be a great player, but then Rory Lobb just came out of the clouds and well surpassed him.
Yep.
Will Hoskin-Elliott, who they would have liked to hang on to, I think, but Collingwood came running and they got to get rid of somebody because their list is that fucking good. Reece Palmer, who I think was past it anyway.
Yeah, I don't think he was in their side.
No. I think, he might have only played half a dozen games in the last year, but not best 22.
No, he's a filler.
And Caleb Marchbank, who would have been okay, I thought, but again... they have such a good list that they need to offload some of them.
Well, I think Marchbank would have been one of those players who had potential to be best 22, but when you've got players who are in the best 22 and are looking like improving as well, you can see why they made the decision they have.
Yeah, yeah, they're going to get value for him right now. And plus, I think one of Steve Silvani's exit clauses was he has to take a certain number of GWS players every year. So
it sounds like it, yeah.
He filled that role there. On the ins, though, the only one major in Brett Delidio.
He's also now the major out.
Major out, exactly. Yeah. So they got him as a restricted free agent or unrestricted free agent, one of the two. But it wasn't a trade, was it?
Yeah, I can't remember.
I think it was unrestricted just based on time.
Yeah. So an interesting one because injuries have always been his issue. But if they can sort it out, he's a handy player.
Definitely, yeah.
More than handy.
Yeah. Well, they picked up Stevie J for finals experience, so I'm assuming they hope that Delidio can get some finals experience.
Maybe to give him some? Yeah.
I was going to say, well, if Stevie J's a carrot, then Delidio's a stick.
Yeah. But in all honesty, though, fantastic use of the ball. So if he stays healthy...
When healthy.
If he gets healthy, I should say, and can stay that way, he could very well be that 2-3 goal difference that can put him across the line in finals.
Well, they can also put him down like next to Phil Davis, half-back line or full-back, and he can run through those lines like nobody else.
Him next to Heath Shaw.
Yeah, exactly. Jesus Christ. Heath Shaw's got the head, and Delidio should still have the speed because of my calf injury, but I mean, those calves are almost Stretch Armstrong. They've been through that much pulling and tearing and whatnot, and they still come back to good, so...
All right, let's have a look at their draw then, going forward to 2017. Their double-up games are Geelong, Richmond, Sydney, West Coast, and Bulldogs. I'm going to say, by far, that is the toughest double-ups of any side going into this season.
It should be, though.
I mean, they finished fourth. but you'd hope that the teams that finished above them had harder ones, but they don't.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the AFL just felt too bad giving them too much of a helping hand, so give them a whack every now and then, just let them know you love them.
Because they got, you know, both last year's grand finalists, plus West Coast, who I've got improving, and Geelong, who finished top four last year as well. But, you know, that's what it is. You get a harder draw, you finish higher up.
Yeah, true. And I mean, you know, can't underrate the Tigers.
yes, that's so, yeah. I do happen to have a little bit of inside knowledge here in that members this year for the home game against Sydney have been asked to fork out for their seats.
Really?
Not part of the membership this year.
Wow.
What?
Yeah, for the first time ever. So, like we always say, Benny the Toss is our hookup in GWS.
They get a women's team and all of a sudden they're changing all the damn rules.
Turns to the bourgeoisie.
Well, I mean, also the other thing that came out in the last week is when it got to AFL handouts, GWS were at the top of the pile.
Yeah.
So they do have to monetize somewhere. I don't know if this is really the place to do it. Yeah. It does look like they're trying to, you know, cash in while the going's good.
Exactly.
I think it's probably a little too soon.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's the game that's going to get people to the game. You're going to win new fans with that game. Yeah. So I think you want to make that as accessible as possible.
Well, not that's what they're doing. They're saying, the you know, this is the only sellout of the year we're going to have. We're going to cash in. So yeah. I can see the business sense, but I still don't like it.
I'd rather be turning people away, to be honest. I'd rather have people turned away pissed off, thinking, next time, I'm going to get in ahead of it.
Rather than pissing off the people that have been there for 5 years when you were shit.
And one thing I hate was that you've got these clubs, well, pretty much all of them now, who are trying to be a business that has a footy club instead of a footy club that needs to have a business to support it. Yep. Not the other way around, you know what I mean? They always want to be more and more and more and more instead of going, hey, it's all right right now, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, in theory, they're all not-for-profits.
Yeah.
In theory.
So it's church.
A lot of people are making some money. But, yeah, I mean, the other injury that I saw was Coniglio.
Yeah? What's happened with Coniglio?
Well, he did it, got himself...
Oh, in the JLT, didn't he?
Yeah. He's a big out for them.
Yeah, it hurts. But again, they've got another four players that look exactly like him.
Yeah, yeah.
True, but I think he's something special.
You like that five of them, though.
Yeah. I think he can be something like superstar level. So, look, they've got cover, but I think it's still less than optimal. But unfortunately, for 17 other teams, less than optimal GWS is still going to be fucking tough.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. It's. I think the other difficulty they're going to have this year is the weight of expectation.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Expectation. Whereas last year, they were expected to make finals for the first time, and they did it. This year, they're expected to go a lot further.
I think they're being up there where they are. That's not going to be as pressurised as, say, Collingwood. Dodge have an expectation here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not going out for a coffee and having everyone say, oh, this is our year. They'll be like, yeah, what do you want?
Who are you again?
Yeah, pretty much.
No, you can't have the till.
Except CBJ, because he sends his people ahead to let people know he's coming.
Papers the street first.
Yeah.
So who's going to have a big year in 2017 for the Giants?
Well, it's going to be Lockie Tiziani, doesn't it?
Lockie Tiziani, well done. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Well, yeah, and besides Lockie Tiziani, I'd like to see Jacob Hopper. Obviously, big rasp behind him. What did he play, a couple of games last year? I can't remember.
A few.
Yeah, played a few games. Showed promise. Midfielder who got the ability to find his own ball. Very big sort of size for a medium size for a midfielder.
Yeah.
So he's not going to be in there hard winning ball getter, but he definitely can get in there and get around that midfielder already got.
I think Mumford.
Yeah.
And the thing is, he's the fulcrum around which their season will pivot. If he can stay healthy,
they were monster teams.
I've got down Mumford and Rory Lobb as well. So they're two ruckmen. The ruck rules changing, no third man up, helps Mumford to no end.
Yeah. Yeah, because the only time you could outbody that bloke is when you had a third person go up.
Yeah.
But who gets in one-on-one, shoulder-to-shoulder? Like around the, set of bounce is different, but shoulder-to-shoulder around the ground, who would you back to beat him more than he gets beat?
Yeah, nobody.
Yeah.
But there's only a couple that I can think could, you know, maybe hopefully draw level. And that's, you know, there's not many ruckmen in the league you can say that for.
I'd probably say just Sanderlands for height and...
like a Stefan Martin for strength, maybe. Yeah. But again, he doesn't play as many games as Mumford did last year.
Yeah, true. Mm. So there's not many blokes where you could say they can beat him consistently. And, like, he's healthy. They're fucking hard to stop.
We were saying in some of the other primers as well, a ruckman these days needs to have a second string.
Yeah. Right?
They can't be just a ruckman. They need to do something else. Mumford moves well, but goddamn his tackling. It's scary.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
And his bumps. Like he actually managed to knock out his own player using Buddy Franklin.
Yeah.
That's a win-win, depending on who the player is.
Well, Taranto.
Taranto. There are big raps about Taranto. I've heard quite a few people have put him in as favourite for the Rising Star nod as well. So he might get a few games.
Well, he was seeing stars, I know that much.
He certainly did.
But, that was just unfortunate that Mumford decided to put the body on Franklin and put a bit too much on and followed through.
Yeah, there's no safe way to ride that bump, too.
No. both Mumford and Franklin have been known to lay the odd bump that gets the scrutiny as well. So when you double up, you've done well, Taranto, to come out alive.
Yeah, he's Newton's cradled right through him.
So who's on the outer then at GWS?
Anyone that's not Tiziani?
Anyone that isn't like his own. And what about Isaac Cummings?
Isaac Cummings in there, yeah.
Oh, he's well
definitely.
In.
He's definitely be in there.
He's fine.
He'll be fine. I've got Ryan Griffin. I think he's 30 years old. Obviously, his back's going, his hamstring's shot. You'd hope that they don't actually need him by this stage.
I don't think they do. I think he's surplus the needs.
Yeah, so I think that he might have a little mentoring role if that's still needed by GWS, which I don't think it is.
Yeah.
So I don't really see how they're going to slot him in.
I don't think he's got many years left either.
Well, it's second
pretty
year.
Good to die in a couple of years. Yeah.
It's his second year there. I'm not sure if he signed a 2 or 3 year contract.
I thought it was three.
Yeah, for some reason I got the thought that it's three, but Bulldogs are paying some of it for the first two.
So
this might be the last year where Bulldogs are still paying some of his salary.
Griffin to me is the one that's most likely to drop out. I just don't think he has enough unique contribution.
He's a class player when he's up and
running. But everything he does, I think there's players who will be able to do that coming in this season.
That are younger.
I don't think he'll be able to get back to be able to do what he actually could do. So I think that's going to be the main problem.
Yeah, look, up and running, he is something special. But you're right. Once you get over 30, the injuries, they seem to come maybe more frequently or hang around for longer.
Well, that's it. When he was playing, he's still got enough of the ball, you know what I mean? He's still like 20, 30 possession games, which isn't, you know, anything to sneeze at, but he's one of the people that will be consistently on the ground. They've got to be a leader. That's where he sort of got there to be. So if he can't be that, I don't see where he slots in underneath that role.
No, I mean, do you think if Brother Leon tells him to go back to the Neefle, he just says, well, I'm done then?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's had a long career and by all accounts is somebody that is quiet and not doesn't seek the limelight all that much. So he might just slink off.
To me, if he plays more than three games in a row in the Neefle, he ain't coming back.
Yeah, it could be. Could be. I've put down a couple of obvious ones. Delidio and Johnson, even though Delidio's only just walked in, he's already got injuries. And that's been his career for the last couple of years.
Yep.
Johnson, because he's getting up there in age, very handy on the field, but he owes them now.
Yep, and I think Johnson was always supposed to move into the coaching role as well, which I think he'd be fantastic at. But mind you can't really pick that based on on-field ability.
The other ones I've put in there that might be a little bit weird is either Cameron or Patton.
You don't think they need both?
I don't know if they need both, but if they do have both, they need both to be kicking 50-plus goals each year.
Yeah.
You know, you need two big, tall targets at each club, and they've got them. But they're at the stage now, they should be dominating.
Yeah, and I mean, there's only so much hype that can get you through those injury seasons and those, what I'm going to be, you're sooner or later going to reach that. Patton showed the flashes of it. Obviously, fitness has been the problem.
Mm. And Jeremy Cameron was their first All-Australian.
Yeah.
It was a couple of years ago now.
If you choose between both of them, though, Cameron wins.
At the minute. Only because of Patton's knees.
Yeah, yep. But Cameron has shown his ability to find the ball as well, and his bulking has been very good.
Plus, I think Cameron is a better on-field leader.
Yeah, he looks like a good country lad. I think
Patton just seems to be like a Tom Hawkins style, just goes about his business and, you know, celebrates a goal, but doesn't seem to be that, I guess, draw the players in.
I think the only problem for me with Patton is consistency on the field. Yeah. Like, as in actually playing a game.
Yeah. I just thought Cameron Freddy looked like a fucking mummy on the field kicking goals.
Yeah, with his head wrapped.
That's dedication. That's the bloke you want going into bat for you.
He just doesn't look like a footballer.
No, not at all. But he still manages to find the ball in the packs. Like, you may take that pack mark, but just position himself and it falls into his lap. Like, he's got that sort of will to get the ball.
Yeah, he's a smart fucking player.
One of those ones that annoy the shit out of you if you're playing against him. Like, God damn it, I've got to Stevie J this dude.
Like being able to mentally control the bounce or something.
Yeah.
But, mind you, Patton looks like a fucking monster.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. I mean, when you compare the two of them, I mean, Jeremy Cameron's played nearly double the games of Jonathan Patton.
Yep.
But
in games per kilo, though, I reckon Patton's ahead.
Just. But Patton, he could be that Jonathan Brown type of leadership.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
As in, you're coming with me.
Yeah.
But he's just got to get out there. He's only played 55, whereas Cameron will play 100 games in the first month or so of the season.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, he's got to get out there and be consistent. But he's still young enough for the size that he is as well that he can grow into that role.
I hope so, yeah. The bigger lads take a little bit longer.
Yeah.
I just hope he stays healthy because...
That's it.
You know, I like watching him play. I think it's fantastic. Yeah. It is a very Jonathan Brown-style game.
Yeah. So excited about him and Petraka. Like, they're the two what I really like seeing run around the game.
Very much.
But I mean, Patton has always had the... when we talk about young players with potential, he's had the potential to be Wayne Carey-esque.
Yes.
In not just in the way he plays, but his influence on a game.
Yeah.
Hasn't had the chance to be out there often enough to do it. But when he has been, like, sometimes I've seen him kick goals from 60 where he hasn't put everything into it.
Yeah.
You're like, Jesus Christ, if he could play a whole season... There is no limit.
Well, put it this way. If he ended up spending the last 5 weeks of the season out with a knee, there'd still be teams wanting him on their side.
Absolutely.
He'd still have offers.
He'd still command a first-round pick.
Oh, shit, yes. If Gito said, no, we're getting rid of him, 17 teams will be up there for him.
Absolutely. So, GWS going into the season with big expectations, what are your expectations for them?
Oh, is anyone going to say they're not going to finish top?
I think, no, we've all got them down as number one, minor premiership.
Yeah, and even like going through the fixture and looking at where the danger game is going to be, it's really hard to see. Yeah. The only thing I noticed is they don't play at Spotless. They play once in the first seven games at Spotless, which I think is pretty shit because they've got to play the home games down at Manuka.
Yeah.
And so if they're trying to expand, I think they've got to concentrate on that Sydney, Western Sydney base because they're obviously got that passion for sport and they've got the population there. Yeah, exactly. Don't remember Canberra full stop.
So many teams have tried to expand to Canberra with, you know, Sydney North, GWS, and I think Bulldogs played a game or two there.
I think so, yeah. A few.
It really isn't there.
No one likes going there. No one likes being there. Let's just not worry about
it. There's no public transport infrastructure. There's not much around the zone. Like, you know, yeah, it's fine to have an occasional one, but I don't think Canberra's ever going to really be a football heartland.
Yeah, they don't have the ground there to be able to, all the supporters to be able to sort of facilitate having a team there. And I think it's pretty rough to make them have to travel there for, I think it was two of their three home games in the first seven rounds or something like that. Yeah, I think just stay at Spotless, consolidate there, and then sort of expand down to Canberra. On that note, it's going to be hard for teams to go to Canberra and win as well because no one's really going to have that much motivation to be hitting up that cold weather.
Yeah, but it's a bit like Hawthorn playing in Tasmania, though.
Yeah.
They don't send the big teams there.
Yeah, exactly.
They send the lesser teams with less drawing power because, you know, look, they need to go close to a packed house at their small stadium in Homebush.
Yeah.
Really before they start worrying about expansion. But yeah, it's a bit funny.
Having said that, though, I think GWS's TV rating should skyrocket this year. Because if you're a fan of football, this is the team to watch.
I love watching them, yeah.
Yeah, we've said that a couple of years in a row, that they everything that you can imagine is a highlight of the game, they do well. Yeah. Like the pack marks, the long runs, the speed, the decision-making, everything, their team will have a player doing highlights.
Yeah.
Possibly less Eddie Betts, but Stevie J is not far off.
I mean, their only weakness is youth. And every year that gets older.
Every year it turns into a strength. Yeah,
but having youth as a weakness is like saying my girlfriend's drawback
dick sucks.
It's terrible having a massive cock. Yeah.
I destroy people.
They're only going to get even better.
Yeah, and the team that if you were just being exposed to AFL, that's the team you go for. You know what I mean? They're exciting to watch. They're young. They're the team that you'd be like, all right, that's my team.
Yeah, membership is cheap.
Not too shit. Yeah, I can go watch a game too. You just have to go out to Western Sydney and.
You can get free tickets to most games. Yeah. Not the Sydney game this year, apparently. Yeah. Even if you're a member.
Yep. But yeah, definitely, they're worth watching. Like if you are just starting out to AFL, you're on the right place.
Cause how the fuck you find us?
Obviously, being experts, you've come to the right place. GWS is the team to watch, definitely.
All right, so we've all got them finishing in the minor premiership spot. So it's all up to GWS this year, really. I mean, a grand final berth is their pass mark.
Definitely, yeah.
Having said that, I'm still not thinking they're quite going to win the flag.
They got every chance, though.
Oh, look, absolutely. I just think they're just 1 year away. But that might be my counter prediction. I can easily be wrong.
I would not be mad at a Sydney GWS grand final at all.
Yeah, I can say that's a very big chance.
Yep. Would be an absolute bloodbath.
All right, that'll do us.
All right, peace.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.